Bear with me just a minute. Well, let's read my other text and I'll come back to this when I think of it. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. I actually have these two texts this morning and I wanted to combine them together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 18. Reading just this one verse. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The passage that I wanted to read in Mark's Gospel, and I'll have to find that later, but Jesus was sitting watching as the people cast their money into the treasury. And he was observing. The Bible says he was beholding. And the word means to look upon with discernment. And he saw those who had much casting in of their abundance, the Bible says. And he saw one certain widow woman. She cast in two mites. She cast in of her need two mites. I'm sorry I've marked that wrong somewhere, but she cast in of her need two mites. And Jesus observed that and he called the apostles to him to give them a contrast between that picture that was there. Jesus was the greatest teacher the world has ever known. There's no doubt about that. Mark 12 or 13? Okay. I wrote down 18. Now, again, that's the only mistake I've made in years. Nobody laugh now. That's your pastor. Don't laugh at your pastor. Mark 12. Let's read this. I think it will help if we read it. If I can just find it. Mark 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. Now, two mites, as it tells us here, makes a farthing, and a farthing is about 3/8 of one of our pennies. Wasn't a lot of money, except to her and to the Lord. It was a lot of money, and he commends her for that, and I wanted to preach about this today. Jesus, being the great teacher that he was in this particular instance, observed. The Bible says he beheld. And again, that word in the Greek means to look at and to see, but to discern. And you know that he had the ability to look on the thoughts and intents of the heart. How could he know that this woman cast in all that she had, as he says in our text? Well, because he knew who she was, he knew how much money she had and how much she didn't have. And he also knew those who had much casting in abundantly. Her two mites would probably not even make a noise when it went into the treasury box. They were throwing in an abundance and make a loud clang when it landed in the box. But Jesus, being the great teacher that he is, He was during his daily ministry, and he still is because he's still teaching us. And this was given for our benefit, that we might learn some things. And the title of my message is The Commendation of Christ. Jesus commends this woman when he calls the disciples over and says concerning her, "This poor widow hath cast in more than they which cast into the treasure." Commending her for what she did. She cast in of her need. She didn't have any more. And he contrasts that with those who cast in abundantly, because even with everything they gave, they still had a whole lot left. And he wanted the apostles to see that. And as we think about how Jesus taught, just for a few minutes, in the Sermon on the Mount, what a beautiful sermon. His first recorded sermon in Matthew, when he dealt with why you're worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what are you going to put on. And he used those simple illustrations of consider the lilies. They don't plow the fields. They don't reap. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth every one of them. And you have no idea the size of that or the magnitude of just that statement. He feeds all the birds. But he used these simple illustrations. And then I went further. Let's just turn to Matthew chapter 6 and look at a few of these things, because this is really an amazing thing, the way he taught in this sermon recorded by Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. It's commonly referred to. But notice, if you would, in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Did any other man ever teach something like that? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And then he begins to give some examples. In verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. He's not talking about the fact that you're going to live or die. He said, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Is not more to the life than eating and being covered? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet that your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now notice this, are you not much better than they? Is that not reasonable and simple in its approach to teach his disciples and those who are gathered here? Be careful what you worry about. Which of you, about taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Well, the answer to that is obvious. Nobody can add to their stature. We're born the way the Lord wants us to be. I was born 6'5", I'm still 6'5". I was born 5'6", and I'm still 5'6". Brother Gorman and I made a good contrast. We were out on visitation, and he was 6'5", and I was 5'6". And he'd always send me to the door where the big dog was laying. I've told that story. Big old German shepherd dog, he'd send me, go knock on the door. I'll stay here by the gate. And he did, and that dog liked to eat me up, and he just laughed. He'd tell that story from the pulpit. He thought that was so funny. I'm getting off track. Why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, all of the clothing, that all the raiment that he had, was not arrayed like one of these. And if you can't see that by going out into our flower garden, no man can do what God does with the flowers. The beauty, the colors, the mixtures. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I'm reading all this and giving you the background of how Jesus taught, because it impacts what he says about this woman. Therefore take no thought what you shall eat. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now let's go back to our text. In Mark 12. He sat against the treasury, and he beheld or he observed how the people cast money into the treasury. He was watching those, and he knew every man. He knew what his means was. He knew how much he had. I will remind you, he knows the same thing about us. When we cast into the offering plate of the church, he knows how much we have. And he knows that sometimes we could cast in abundantly because we had more left. But he commends this woman, and I want you to see this because I think this is important, that this widow, a certain widow, not just any widow, but a certain widow, poor widow. That word poor means poverty level or already in poverty, and you can see that. She threw in two mites, which made a farthing. You don't understand this until you read further. Because Jesus said in verse 44, they all did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Have you given that much to the church yet? We may boast in what we give to the church, and I'm thankful that people do give to the church. That's how the Lord's work is carried on. That's how that this was to the treasury of the Lord. This is how the Lord's work was carried on in that day. But the Lord commended her because she cast in of her need. Do you want the commendation of the Lord? We read that in 2 Corinthians because I believe it goes right along with this. And I'll read that verse to you again because in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for not he that commendeth himself is approved. I mean, we can commend ourselves because we give a lot to the church. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That just struck me. The Lord commended this woman. He made her a contrast to his disciples that they might know and they might teach others. The stark difference between people casting in of their abundance when they were through, they had a lot left, and a woman who cast in her very living. What is she doing? Why did she do it? What made her do that? Who could tell why she did it but the Lord Jesus? We wouldn't know. I wouldn't even know it was her last two mites. Those casting in with her would not know that that was the last two mites she had, but Jesus knew. We need to live with that daily. He knows. You had nothing from God. But why would he do this? First of all, I believe because of love. And really, that's the foundation of everything in the Lord's work. No matter what it is, no matter how small it is, whether it's too much or in abundance, we want God to commend us, then let's do it in love. Just don't do it to draw attention to ourselves so that other people will see that we're casting in an abundance. If you want God's commendation, how do we get it? Well, let's see how Jesus commended her. Should we not follow the same pattern if we want the commendation of the Lord? If we want Him to recognize what we do. She didn't have a lot, but she did what she could. She cast in all she had. Now, is she not practicing what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6? Why take your thought what you eat or what you drink? or what you put on. Why did she do that? What caused her to do it? I believe it's founded in love, but beloved, there's faith there. She knew she was casting in her living. She had nothing to eat. She had nothing to spend any more money on. She cast in all she had because she believed God would take care of her. How simple, and yet how startling. And what a confrontation to those of us who have basically much. This was the treasury of the Lord's house. She wanted to be a part in it. She wanted to be a part in it. She didn't have much, but she gave what she had. Doesn't God always commend that? I believe she trusted God for her next meal. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us to do? Trust Him. We worry too much about things that doesn't do any good to worry about them. I believe she did it in faith. She was not compelled to do that. The Lord wasn't watching her to see if she would do it. He observed her doing it. He knew what she did. He didn't say anything to her. He didn't commend her. And yet He did commend her. He commended her to us. Did He not? Can we not read this and see what the Lord is pleased with? She simply believed God. She believed what Jesus taught in Matthew 6. As we look at this situation and we think about her testimony, He used her to teach His disciples, and He used her to teach us. Still alive, isn't it? What does it say in Hebrews 4? The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's living. It still touches our lives. It touched my heart when I read this. And it humbled me to realize I may give an abundance to the Lord, but I still got enough to live on. I haven't given everything yet. When we read this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18, where Paul says, not he that commendeth himself is approved of God, but he whom the Lord commendeth. And that should be a concern in our life. What does God think of what I'm doing? Jesus Christ judged that situation and revealed to us what He thought of it. He showed by contrast what pleases God. He doesn't require us to give everything we have because He instituted tithing. He didn't require her to give everything she had, but she did anyway. There's so many other examples in the New Testament. I'm going to use some of these. Look in Luke 5, verse 27. Pretty close to this. Luke chapter 5, verse number 27. I can't believe I've written down the wrong scripture again. Go to Luke 7. Verse 7 through 9. Luke 7, verse 7 through 9. This is about a certain centurion whose servant was sick. He loved that servant. He heard about Jesus. The Bible says when he heard of Him, he asked Him to come and heal his servant. But before Jesus got there, in verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, how could he say that? What would cause a man to approach the Lord Jesus Christ about healing his servants? And then before he got to the house, Jesus, he said to him, you don't need to come, just say the word. And he'll be healed. Well, what happens? For I'm also a man of set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Now notice this. And turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He commended this man. What did he commend him for? Now, as you read your Bible, you'll find several instances like this. They're not usually apparent because he's not raising the dead. He's not healing the blind, but they're just kind of things that are in passing. But in every case, you'll find this. He commends them because of their faith. The woman with an issue of blood. If I just touch the hem of his garment, and eventually he discovered her. She wasn't going to show herself. Go thy way, thy faith hath healed thee. What is he commending in this woman? Her faith. What is he commending in this centurion? His faith that he could believe that Jesus didn't even have to come, just say the word. Look in Mark 14. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste made of the ointment? Or why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, but whomsoever you will, you can do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now notice verse 9. Verily I say unto you, that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus commended this woman for her work. While they were complaining about it, he said, let her alone. She's done what she could. Now I know sometimes, beloved, in our attempts to serve the Lord, we feel like we're not doing much. But why don't we leave that to the Lord? I don't think he told the poor widow. I don't think he went to her personally and commended her. But we're still hearing about it. We're still hearing about the woman who broke this alabaster box. He said it would go throughout the whole world wherever the gospel went. He commended her in such a manner that it's still going today. So when you feel like you're not doing anything, don't forget how God commends his people. The Bible tells us our works follow us. We're not necessarily going to see any accolades today. Matter of fact, we usually, as we studied in Sunday school this morning, we have all kinds of trouble. Everywhere we turn, we'll have trouble. But we need to understand this. We see the Lord commending people, and what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, whom the Lord commended. That's what is important. We ought to remember that ourselves and not look for the praise of men. But we do. We're human, I understand. But you better understand something. It's not what men think of us that matters. It's what God thinks of us. for her great act of taking her very living. Could you do that? Could I do that? It's easy to give when you have a paycheck coming in every Friday, or if you're on retirement and you know you're going to get paid every month. It's easy to give and give and give because you feel like it'll always be there. Now, we know that's kind of foolish because it can be taken away too. But we have that assurance, and therefore we give. Now, what about if it was all that we had? Would we give all that we had because we loved the Lord? And that's the only reason you'll ever give. If you don't give out of love, it's not much use anyway. It's an act of love. It's an act of trust. It's an act of faith that we do those things. But don't be discouraged because the world doesn't commend you for it. They won't. They'll make fun of you. They'll mock you for it. But remember, they're not the final judge. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? You had a daughter that was possessed with a demon, and she wanted so much to have that daughter healed. We understand that. And she heard about Jesus. And she followed him and came to him. And she really troubled the disciples, wanting the Lord to listen to her. He wouldn't listen to her. And they interceded. He still said, the children must be fed first. Remember what she said? Yea, Lord, but do not the dogs under the table feed of the crumbs? And Jesus said to her, woman, for this saying, thy daughter shall be healed. And he healed her daughter. Just for saying, the dogs under the table. What did she do? Why, when she said that, what is her approach to the Lord? You must do this for me. You're obligated to do this because I ask it. Sometimes that's the way we act, even in our prayer life. We act like the Lord is, He's under our control. We can demand what we need and He'll give it to us. That's not what she did. She took her place. She was a Syrophoenician woman. She was not a Jew. She was not one of the children of Abraham. And Jesus told her that. But then when she said, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall under the table, she took her place. And the Lord responded to her. And He commended her for what she did. You know, there's basic teaching in the Bible that he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall eventually be humbled. As we think about these things this morning, and all these examples, and there's many others, we see not just faith, but we see faith in action. What did James tell us about faith? Let's look in James 2, verse 18. Book of James, the second chapter and 18th verse. James wrote this for us. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Why did the woman do what she did? She believed God. She had faith that God would take care of her if she gave every cent she had to the Lord. She showed her faith by her works. Do we do that? Beloved, the Bible is a challenge to every one of us. Everything in the Bible is a challenge to our lives. It was written for our admonition, for our learning. These things are given unto us that we might know what pleases God, what God wants us to do, and how God wants us to act. And all of these examples, and many, many others, we see faith in action. Show me thy faith by thy works. The widow's two mites demonstrated her trust and her faith in God that He would feed her. And you know as well as I do, she never went hungry. You know that, don't you? She never went hungry. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the rest of her life, but I can assure you, God took care of her needs. Wouldn't you take care of her needs if you saw her take of her last two mites and give to some need that you had? Would you not take care of her needs as much as in you? And it's not a problem with God. That's what he was teaching. The woman who anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, let her alone. What she's done will be spoken of as a memorial of her throughout all the ages, as long as the gospel is being preached. And you're hearing about her today. Jesus memorialized some people during the days of his ministry. There's so many more. And again, they're so insignificant that a lot of times we overlook them. This section I read to you this morning is only four verses in the book of Mark. But there's a lot in those four verses. There's a lot to help us. There's a lot to teach us. Remember, the world teaches you should love the commendation of men. You should look for it. You should strive for it. You should want to be commended of men. But what does the Bible say? You should want to be commended of God. Everything the world can say about you, all the commendation they can give you, it's going to pass away, as I preached last week, with a great noise. But what you do for God is going to go on forever. I tried to think about this woman in the presence of God, as I believe she'll be. She exercised faith, and that's what honors God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that faithfully obey him. Try to think about what place will she have in heaven. Now, that's not my business. It's God's business. But I do believe this, and I can assure you this. God recognized her on earth in the presence of his son, Jesus Christ. He recognized her. He commended her to his disciples. He commended her to us. And I believe he'll commend her in eternity, but for what she did. Now, apply that to yourself. And sometimes in coming to church and making a special effort just to get here when you got other things to do, remember who you're trying to please. Don't try to please the world. You'll have some temporary advantages. I said temporary advantages, but they're not lasting. The world teaches us that we should love the commendations that they give us and other men give us, deserved or not. But the world's going to pass away. Remember the teachings of Jesus as I bring the message to the close. In Matthew 25, when he talked about the talents, and in Luke 19, the same thing. A certain man had a kingdom and he went away and he gave to his servant 10 talents. And he gave to another 5 talents and he gave to another 1 talent. Did he show us what the end of that was going to be? He that had the 10 talents gained another 10 talents. And what did he say about him? He commended him. Enter into the glory of the Lord. What did he say to the one who buried it in the ground? No commendation. It's condemnation. Cast him into outer darkness. Beloved, the insignificant things in our life, and I know we don't see things like raising the dead, and we don't see things like people being miraculously healed in the way that Christ did, but we still have the blessings of God. We still see God working in our life, and we still need to serve the Lord because we need his commendation. We need God to approve of what we do. Forget about the world. Don't worry about whether or not they like it. Does it please God? It means so much to me, I hope to you, to do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would commend me for. And whatever sacrifices I make are not even sacrifices at all. Whatever things I have to do to serve the Lord, it's nothing. Paul says, And we read this in Sunday school class. These things are temporal. But what we're going to do for the Lord is eternal. So we faint not. We keep on going. But above all, I want you to get out of this message. Don't shortchange yourself when you're working for God. If Jesus commended a woman who cast in two mites, what did he say about if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward? Isn't that the same principle? What we do for God really counts. What we do for ourselves is selfish. We have a reason for it. What we do for God is selfless. We do it because we love. We do it because we have faith. We do it because we trust Him to do what He said He would do. So God help us to take these little things in the Bible that we kind of gloss over when we're reading our daily scriptures and stop and look at them for a few minutes. Jesus made a real issue out of this to the disciples. Didn't seem like much, but it was much to Him. And all those other occasions I gave you, and there's so many more. And really, if you read your Bible and just notice, every time you see faith mentioned, the leper, why did he run to Christ? If thou will, thou canst make me whole. What was behind it? Faith. Now, what does it say to us? Why should we serve God? Why should we do what He says? Why should we want to be with God's people? Why should we want to honor Him in the way that we know pleases Him? Because He's already declared that it does. And what will enable us to do it? Faith. You're not going to see any outward show. It's just a matter of faith. God help us to serve the Lord in a way that we'll one day be commended for it. And it'll glorify Him. He'll be glorified because of our service. Bow your heads. Father, thank You for Your word.